Welcome to Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Venice, Florida. Today is Good Friday, April 7th, 2023, the Friday before Easter Day, the day on which the church commemorates the crucifixion of Jesus. The liturgy of the day includes John's account of the Passion Gospel, a solemn form of intercession known as the Solemn Collects, and optional devotions before the cross, commonly known as the Veneration of the Cross. Join us today in this commemoration.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, procuring a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to befall him, came forward and said to them,
"Whom do you seek?"
They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them,
"I am he."
Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them,
"Whom do you seek?"
And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered,
"I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go."
This was to fulfill the word which he had spoken, "Of those whom thou gavest me, I lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me?"
So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had given counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. As this disciple was known to the high priest, he entered the court of the high priest along with Jesus, while Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter in. The maid who kept the door said to Peter,
"Are not you also one of this man's disciples?"
"I am not."
Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered them,
"I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing secretly. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said."
When he had said this, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him,
"If I have spoken wrongly, bear witness to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him,
Are you not also one of his disciples? He denied it and said,
I am not.
One of the servants of the high priest, a kinsman of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked,
Did I not see you in the garden with him?
I am not.
At once the cock crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was early. They themselves did not enter the praetorium so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said,
What accusation do you bring against this man?
They answered him, If this man were not an evildoer, we would not hand him over. Pilate said to them,
Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.
The Jews said to him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. This was to fulfill the word which Jesus had spoken to show by what death he was to die. Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?
Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?
My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world.
So you are a king?
You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.
What is truth?
After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them,
I find no crime in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. Will you have me release for you the King of the Jews?
They cried out again, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them,
See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no crime in him.
So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
Behold the man.
When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out,
Crucify him! Crucify him!
Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him.
We have no law, and by that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God.
When Pilate heard these words, he was the more afraid. He entered the praetorium again and said to Jesus,
Where are you from?
But Jesus gave no answer.
You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and power to crucify you?
You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin.
Upon this, Pilate sought to release himself, but the Jews cried out,
If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar.
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, and in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews,
Behold your king.
Away with him. Crucify him.
Shall I crucify your king?
We have no king but Caesar.
Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote a title and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. The chief priests of the Jews then said to Pilate,
Do not write, the King of the Jews, but this man said, I am the King of the Jews.
What I have written, I have written.
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, one for each soldier. Also, his tunic. But the tunic was without seam, woven from top to bottom. So they said to one another,
Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be.
This was to fulfill the scripture. They parted my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did this. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother,
Woman, behold your son.
Then he said to the disciple,
Behold your mother.
And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture,
I thirst.
A bowl full of vinegar stood there. So they put a sponge full of the vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said,
It is finished.
And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, in order to prevent the bodies from remaining on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. For those things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial customs of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Please be seated. We must all be found in the belly of the beast. The people that day were looking for power, but instead saw weakness and impotence. At least that's how they interpreted the meekness they observed in Jesus. Pilate had asked Jesus for royal credentials, but none were given. Instead, Jesus remained silent. The people expected a triumphal entrance into the city on a white stallion. In its place, they got a donkey. The people wanted a card trick, a little sleight of hand, a miracle, a sign, some certainty and proof of who he was. Instead, Jesus always left them guessing, uncertain, trying to muddle through the morass of contradictions and confusion and paradox they saw and heard from Jesus. The religious leaders and the people were looking for a sign from him, any sign. But here was Jesus' only response. An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. You know Jonah, the guy with the whale? Jesus was saying, fellas, you want a sign of who I am? Here it is, Jonah. So what evidence was Jesus going to give of his royal credentials, this proof, this sign of his authority and his messiahship? Jesus said that it was the sign of Jonah. He explained that just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the sea monster, the Son of Man would be 3 days in the heart of the earth. So what does this have to do with your life and mine on this Good Friday and during these days of Holy Week? There are five central events that occur during Holy Week. It begins with the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the upper room supper and prayer in the garden on Maundy Thursday, the arrest, trial, and crucifixion on Good Friday, the silent Saturday and the Easter vigil, and finally, the day of celebration, Resurrection Sunday. The most frequently attended Sunday service in churches in spring is, yes, you guessed it, obviously, Easter. Not surprising, given that we are a resurrection people. The core of our belief system is in the bodily resurrection. Easter is also a time when families gather together. It is about church and decorations and hats and eggs and baskets, and of course, to my liking, not so much to Dave Beals, chocolate. The second most frequently attended spring service is Palm Sunday, a week earlier. Both days, Easter and Palm Sunday, are days of rejoicing and celebration. Christians tend to be Sunday people. Our high days are Christmas and Palm Sunday, and especially Easter. Most Christians, unfortunately, hop from the celebration of Palm Sunday over the dark chasm of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to land on the other side in the celebration of Resurrection Sunday. In other words, we tend to stay on the high points and the celebration times, often skipping over the darker, more uncomfortable, reflective, somber days that lie between these two bookends. When we do this, We miss the importance of the belly of the beast, the vital key to the Christian faith, which is struggle, rejection, betrayal, and suffering. We miss the sign of Jonah. You see, in the story of Jonah, he didn't just show up one day, poof, slimy and bleached on the shore, resurrected and now new. No, in order for him to be spat up, he had to first be swallowed. He had to be swallowed and spend 3 days in the belly of that beast. Well, for you and me, we are liturgically right now in the middle of the 3 days of this belly of the beast. The celebration of Palm Sunday is past. It will soon turn into Thursday's supper and betrayal and agony in the garden, and then followed by today, Friday at 12 p.m., when the Roman soldiers took hammer to spikes, impaling Jesus' hands and feet to the crude wood. And then tomorrow, Saturday, a time of silence and foreboding. The disciples cowering in the darkness, terrified that they would be next to the gallows. Just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of that sea monster, the disciples found themselves in the belly of a dark trial of their souls. As I explain, I will be hopping back and forth between Jonah's ancient story to the events in Palestine 2,000 years ago, and then the meaning of these events to your life and mine. We are told that Jonah struggled fiercely with God's calling on his life. Instead of heading east to Nineveh, he turned west, aiming straight for Spain. The days were beautiful, with the sun on his face and the smell of the crisp sea air. But all was not well in Jonah's soul. You see, there was a churning in his gut because he had recently denied God's call. Meanwhile, Jesus, much like Jonah, wrestled with God's will that first Maundy Thursday in the upper room at meal with his disciples and out there in the Garden of Gethsemane. At the meal, he was enjoying an intimate time with his closest friends. But there was a sense of foreboding gnawing at the back of his mind. And then later in the garden in prayer, he struggled and wrestled with obedience to his Father's will. He cried out in agony, "Father, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." You and I encounter as well these times of struggle and wrestling with God's purpose and plan and will. And those of us who wear these collars aren't any different than the rest of us. Jesus' words to his disciples that night can often be applied to us as well when he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We sense God's direction for us, and yet there are times when we choose our own way. We turn left towards Spain when we should have turned right. Now let's get back to Jonah, there enjoying himself on the sea. The serene, peaceful Mediterranean sky was beginning to darken. The wind rose and the waves increased. The sailors were struggling. Water was coming in. In one final act of desperation, the sailors tossed Jonah into the sea, where he was swallowed whole by an evil monster. For 3 days, alive in its belly, he suffered and was in despair. Hope had fled. And now to Jesus. On that dark Friday so long ago, after being flayed and beaten and impaled, he hung between earth and sky, stripped and in despair. In dark loneliness and feelings of abandonment, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he finally breathed his last. His life was over. His lifeless body washed, anointed, wrapped, and laid in a stone cold tomb, there to lie until rot and maggots would eventually return him to the earth. You and I experience times of fear and dread and hopelessness and despair as well. We find ourselves in the belly of an evil beast, on the brink maybe of financial ruin or anxiety or depression or deep loss or the failing of a relationship or the news of yet another series of senseless murders in this society of ours. For Jonah, the 3 days of despair and darkness ended the day he was spit out on the beach. Meanwhile, as Jesus' body lay cold and rigid in the tomb, there was a deep magic from long before the dawn of time that whispered in that stale, dark stillness. Unless a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You see, the deep truth is that hope and resurrection power can only be found on the other side of a path that leads through struggle and suffering and despair. And so we sit here in this dark, foreboding day that we call Good Friday, in a bland and colorless space, stripped of all beauty, in front of a stripped and bare altar, observing the belly of the beast. You and I must walk this path of darkness, for only if a kernel of wheat dies will it bring forth much fruit.